This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. In the first year of Wisconsin's two-year legislative session, thousands of bills have been introduced in the state assembly and the state senate.
Only about 100 of those bills have been passed by the legislature. Only half of those have been signed into law.
So what's left for the remaining year of the current session? Well, we'll find out now with Bill Leaders, reporter for the Wisconsin Center for Investigative Journalism. Bill, welcome back to Central Time.
Good to be here again.
So are you surprised that they got through so few bills?
Oh, no, it's not an especially unproductive session. This always happens that many more bills are introduced than become law. In fact, one of the primary functions of the legislature, besides passing bills, is to not pass them, to keep certain things from happening. And that is the fate of most legislation that gets proposed. There is about 900, between 900 and 1,000 individual bills that have been introduced so far this session. And as you said, only about 100 of them have passed the legislature. There'll be some more bills that pass in the coming session, but what I did for the column that I wrote this week is I just did a sampling of some of the bills that haven't passed yet and took a look at what they would do and where they are in the process.
Let's jump into some of those bills. One of the ones you mentioned has to do with smart meters. What's that legislation?
Well, smart meters are the devices that utility companies install in homes that have a wireless connection to their equipment that they allow to get the information they need about your energy usage. There is a concern that has arisen that this violates privacy and some backlash, and there was legislation that was introduced that would prevent utilities from installing these meters in the home of anybody who objected. And of course, some people are going to object. The utilities say, well, most of them are already installed. It's kind of a done deal. And also, it will cost lots of money for us to take these out. And also, we do have pretty strong privacy protections that this information would not be used or sold in ways that would violate people's privacy. So that bill hasn't gone anywhere.
I know that's something that has happened a lot in Madison, and there's some backlash against these smart meters. Is this something that's going on all over the state as well, and that's why supporters of this bill are getting
involved?
Absolutely.
Sure. This is a statewide issue. It's a concern that's raised in certain quarters where people have a distrust of government and corporations and think that their privacy is imperiled by this technology. And, of course, the utility companies will argue against that. The opposition to the bill is fairly overwhelming. Of the lobby groups that have registered an opinion on this, I believe all of them have come out against it.
Well, another bill that did not make it this time around, it was a more recent one, a piece of legislation, wind energy suits, and people thinking about some of the damages that they may be incurring if they live near a wind farm.
Well, this is a really interesting bill because what has happened in the state of Wisconsin in the last couple of years, since Governor Walker was elected, is there has been a lot of legislation that makes it harder for people to sue companies if they think that their interests have been harmed. This is a bill that makes it easier for people to sue. If they live near a wind turbine and they feel that there are health consequences or there is a loss of property value, this would increase their ability to sue, would provide some attorney fee reimbursement. It would state as a matter of law that just being in compliance with all applicable laws would not be a defense against a lawsuit. It does cut dramatically against the grain of the what's called tort reform, which has swept Wisconsin. This bill has not had much luck getting out of the pack either. And again, the lobby opposition to it is fairly overwhelming. I believe 21 of the 24 groups who have registered an opinion on this bill are opposed.
And there's opposition within the Republican majority on this, right? Frank Lissay is the sponsor of this bill, and he's been pushing for it. But because of the tort reform issues you mentioned, as I understand it, a lot of Republicans aren't jumping on board with this.
That's probably the case. It certainly is not consistent with other actions that the Republicans have taken to make it more difficult for companies to find themselves in court paying out damages to people who say that they've been harmed.
Is this one that you would say has a good shot at moving forward next time around?
I do think that there certainly is support for it. It could move forward. It's one of those things. I mean, all it really takes is one committee chair who is against it to stop a bill. There's a lot of ways that a bill can be stopped, short of a veto from the governor, which is also a possibility in every case. But yeah, this one here, it all depends.
So a lot of years in a row, it seemed like the top issue in front of the legislature were laws that said we should be able to hunt blank, and you fill in an animal there. Mourning doves was a big years ago.
Yeah, cranes.
This year, cranes, right. This year, woodchucks. A bill was proposed to allow a woodchuck hunt.
Yeah, it would create an open season on woodchucks. It would say that the DNR could not set a bag limit on the number of woodchucks that you could kill within the period of time that the hunt was open. This bill was introduced in April. It did have a hearing, but it has not advanced.
No bag limit. Do they usually, in hunting bills, set that kind of restraint on the DNR, saying you can't regulate the hunt we've created?
You know, you see that more and more, that the legislature is presuming to tell the DNR what it can't do. That's a big part of the proposal with regard to frac sand regulation, is it says the DNR cannot set stronger standards for frac sand mines and exist for other industries, blah, blah. It does. Again, that's another bill that constrains the ability of the regulator to regulate. I think we've seen some of that with regard to wetlands as well.
In terms of Democrat-backed bills that did not get a lot of traction, the Democrats were backing a slew, you know, a handful at least, of gun control legislation. They proposed it, and it has not gone anywhere. What is the state of some of these, things like banning assault weapons and large-capacity magazines? Where are we with some of this gun control legislation?
Well, the one that the Democrats are most keen on would require background checks for most firearm sales. This is something that has passed in some other states, particularly in the wake of Sandy Hook and other tragedies of the sort. It has enormous public support. I heard one of the advocates say recently that the support for background checks in the state of Wisconsin is on a par with the support that people have for Aaron Rodgers. Both enjoy like 90% approval in the opinion polls that have been done. But this bill appears dead on arrival. The Republicans have not had hearings on it. They've not advanced this in any way. As I say in the column, the legislation regarding background checks, regarding assault weapons, regarding high-capacity magazines, and a bill that would prohibit the carrying of concealed weapons in the state capitol, which is not allowed, all have gone nowhere, which is expected to be their final destination.
Is this pretty common in when we make lists of bills that don't pass, the minority party advancing legislation that they know isn't going to pass, but they do it because it's their agenda, it's what they use to reach out to their supporters?
Absolutely. We saw that yesterday with the introduction of a proposal that the citizens of Wisconsin should have the right to vote on an advisory referendum on the question of redistricting. The Democratic lawmakers proposed that. They would like to see an advisory referendum on the ballot in 2014. I think it was the Associated Press today, or maybe it was the State Journal's article that just said, as a matter of fact, this bill has virtually no chance of passage. The Republicans who control the legislature have not even wanted to hold hearings on bills that would create a nonpartisan redistricting process. The idea of having a advisory referendum is probably not going to be embraced by the party, but it might be embraced by individual Republican lawmakers. That will be an interesting thing. Yeah, I think a lot of times parties who are out of power will advance legislation, will introduce legislation that they think ought to be law, even though they know that it's politically unlikely.
Is part of that it might sit there dormant and be used as a template later on when the party's back in power?
Yes. And a lot of times it takes years of proposing legislation before it gains the type of support that it needs. We saw that over the past couple decades with restrictions on smoking in restaurants and bars and things like that. That was legislation that was introduced many times and failed before it gained acceptance and passed.
You also write about some campaign finance law changes that that may actually happen, I think, campaign disclosure laws.
Yeah, there is a number of things that would tinker with our campaign finance system. The one that I think is most likely to pass is was actually introduced as an amendment to another bill. You can't find it in the bill itself, but there's an amendment to a proposed bill that would double the amount of money that candidates for most state races could receive from a particular contributor. It raised the maximum contribution for the governor's race, for instance, from $10,000 to $20,000. It would raise from the maximum contribution for a state assembly race from $500 to $1,000, for Senate from $1,000 to $2,000. It would double all these amounts. That, I think, does have a chance of passage because getting more money from contributors is something that has bipartisan support.
So we talked about a lot of hot-button legislation that didn't move forward, and then there was rubber duck races.
Yeah, rubber duck races. That, you know, I started looking into this thinking it was a joke, and most of the press attention that is received has taken that tone, that this is a funny thing. There's a proposal before the legislature now that would specifically allow charitable groups to have raffles and contests that people bet on that involve racing rubber or plastic ducks. And the more I looked into it, though, the more I realized it's not actually that bad of an idea. There are a number of charitable groups around the state that have had these contests that involve rubber ducks. Some of them have received letters from the Justice Department notifying them that this is not an approved form of gambling under our laws. And the law does have to change for these contests, these promotions to be legal.
In our last minute, Bill, you mentioned before we started here that you don't have to be the only one to dig up this information. You're trying to provide tools for people to be watchdogs on what's going on in the state government.
Yeah, that's very much one of the things we try to do at the Wisconsin Center for Investigative Journalism is to share the knowledge that it takes to do this kind of poking around. We just published this week on our website, wisconsinwatch.org. On the front page, you'll see a resource guide for watchdogs, a watchdog toolkit, and it contains some tips and some links for using some of the resources that I use to report these stories. For instance, a link that will take you to the page where you can look at all of the legislation that is introduced. You can drill down and you can see what the status of it is. You can look at the analysis that's been done. You can look at fiscal estimates. You can research the support that's received from special interest groups.
All right. Well, Bill, thank you so much for joining us today.
Glad to be here.
That was Bill Leaders, reporter for the Wisconsin Center for Investigative Journalism.